Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, John Clayton.
Welcome to Schooled with a Professor, and I'm telling you what, we're going to get a master's degree today because we are going to go so in-depth on where this National Football League is with the offense, what to do as far as scouting for offensive players, how the game has totally changed. And I had the fortune in the last, 10 days, I actually went to 5 games. I was able to see the Rams. I was able to see the Chiefs. I was able to see Houston, able to go see that. And so now after seeing all that, I want to put it all in perspective, and nobody better to do that than Scott McLuhan, who has his own company, Instinctive Scouting. He has his own podcast. And Scott, I mean, first, why don't you tell us where you can get that podcast? And so with the insights that we get hopefully today, you know, we're going to get good insights. But the podcast, I mean, you're there pretty much every week.
Yeah, I've been doing it with Rob Rang, who's a local guy, you know, very well, I'm sure, being around the facility. But it's McLuhan Scott at Instinctive Scouting.
So you go to that McLuhan Scout at Instinctive Scouting. All right, so Instinctive Scouting is that, how different is it now to scout players with the offensive production that's there and the offensive needs compared to, say, 10, 15, 20 years ago?
You know what? It's very interesting. You know, the game's always evolving, and there's always trends and all that. But, you know, from a standpoint of being a personnel guy and having to evaluate quarterbacks who don't call a huddle, you know, very seldom are under the center, and it's always a spread system. You know, that's tough because, you know, they all put up good numbers, and that's why the system's set that way, and it's not a tough system whatsoever because it's one read, second read at the most, and the ball's out. You know, the toughest thing for me has been offensive linemen because I love big, powerful offensive linemen. The dry block, you run the ball in January, you know, and you're in the playoffs. And that's bad weather games, that kind of stuff. So when the spread, when you get into a snowstorm, say whatever, sleet, wind, which is going to happen, then the spread is kind of taken away from what it's supposed to do. So you got to run the ball. So, you know, with the quarterbacks, it's you know, I mean, we see Mahomes doing what he's doing, you know, and he came out of Texas Tech, and of course they threw it every time and shotgun every snap. But it's the old lineman. You want to see strength, power, and leverage come off the ball. They don't do it anymore. It's all, I don't want to say finesse because there are good linemen out there and tough guys, I promise you. But the ball's out so quick, it's like just set, put your hands on them, and the ball's gone. You know, it's great with receivers from a standpoint. As an evaluator, you can see them have multiple catches and see run after catch and see touchdowns. You know, so that makes it good there from that standpoint. But the game's evolved, and it'll keep evolving. But there's a lot of good young quarterbacks, as we saw from last year's draft, that all pretty much came from the spread. You know, there's few and far between a USC where a guy's under center, you know. I mean, that's more of a pro-style offense. Alabama will run some pro-style offense. You know, Georgia will run some pro-style offense. But 95% of the college football with the quarterbacks and the system is spread.
So when you're looking at the way it should go for the future, I mean, is it going to be sustainable to keep this type of offense? Will defenses figure it out? Or is it because you're getting guys at quarterback and from the offensive line that have been playing almost in the same type of spread air raid offenses since high school that you just have to readapt your game to what you're given?
Yeah, well, the thing is, and you nailed it on the head because they start in high school, and of course they go into college and spread, and then get the NFL. But the thing you got to worry about with the NFL is, you know, because, of course, dynamic players on both sides of the ball, but especially defense, is the fact that you got to make sure you keep your quarterback healthy. You have to make sure you keep him healthy. And Lamar Jackson's a good example, you know, from the standpoint of how many times he's ran the ball so far in his 2 starts. You know, and you worry about that because that's your starter right now. And you're winning with them, which is great, but can you prolong that over 16, 19-game season? And it's scary. It's scary. I mean, that's why it's so important to have a good number 2 quarterback now, because if you're going to go a no-back set or 1-back set and go 3 or 4 receiver sets, then you're leaving something open to come get you. You know, a safety blitzing, a linebacker blitzing. And quarterbacks can only take so many hits. You know, I know there are tough guys out there, and they, you know, Ben Roethlisberger stays in there and makes a throw. But that stuff adds up quick, especially the young quarterback, you know. So, but the way right now, the way the development's going with the quarterbacks is, you know, you want to put them in a situation to be successful with what they've done, in course, in high school and college. That's why they're in the NFL. But you got to have, I think a 50-50 or close to 60-40 run pass rate, you know, because it's like I said, you got to be able to run the football. You have to.
I just came from the Houston-Tennessee game, and, of course, coming from there, I think it's the culmination of everything you're talking about, because Deshaun Watson is a good spread quarterback who hit it in his first year, but the offensive line around him, based on injuries, youth, guys coming from spread sets in college, I mean, it's horrible. And so what Bill O'Brien, who has college experience as a head coach at Penn State, what he's done in the last six games is limit Watson to 25 to 24 passes a game to save him. Because if he has to throw 30 to 35 passes, which he did last year and did well, he's not going to make it through. And I find it amazing. They're down 10-0. And then Watson, who's really good, was able to get a nice drive and get a touchdown to make it 10-7. But he had not done that by the second quarter. It would turn him into a passing game. And with that offensive line, he would get destroyed. That's almost the example of everything that you're saying right now with what it is, how tough to get offensive linemen and how tough it is to protect quarterbacks.
Yeah, no. And the thing about it, John, you know, there's O-line men out there every year. You got to identify, but then you got to almost reteach them how to play offensive line. You know, unless you want to be a finesse team, which nobody wants to be in the NFL, of course. But the thing about it is, you got to, you know, it's a mindset, you know, and they have it, but they haven't had it because of college. They didn't have it. You know, high school, they didn't have it. It's just boom, boom, balls out. Boom, boom, balls out. You know, hands on, and that's it. You have to have tough guys. You have to be able to pound the rock. You have to. I'm telling you, if you go back and look at all the good teams, win the Super Bowls and all that, majority of them ran the football, you know, and played really good defense.
Which is the other interesting part about it is what the rules are in the NFL as far as practice times, and that plays a big role. So, for example, right now I'm looking at a list of 26 offensive linemen that are on injured reserve, out for the season, and about 16 of them are either 16 are guards, and about 5 of them are centers, maybe about 3 or 4 or 5 are tackles. Because of the fact you have limited practice time and limited hitting, you can't adjust your offensive line health-wise and physical-wise to really hold up like you did years ago.
Correct. Totally agree. You know, and I've been in the NFL a long time, just like you have. And, you know, the most success I had with teams, say with San Fran, say with Seattle, you know, was the fact that you had power guys and you could run the football. You know, we won in Seattle. We went back-to-back Super Bowls in Seattle because of Marshawn Lynch, because we could run the ball, you know, and that's a power game. You know, and Russell was young and, of course, is an excellent player. But it makes the life so much easier for the quarterback when you can run the ball. But you got a little block up front. You have to. If you don't, like you said, I mean, you're missing the picture of a championship team.
Early in the season, and maybe even to a good degree now, there's so much criticism of Brian Schottenheimer, what he's done with the run game, almost making it looking prehistoric. But they're the number one rushing team in the league, particularly they've won 6 out of their last 9 games. They now have a great chance to make it. Just going to your point, I mean, maybe it's not the most exotic offense, but it's one that's a winning formula.
It is. And the thing about it doesn't have to be pretty. You don't need a Todd Gurley, you know. You don't need to let Le'Veon Bell type guy. If you have a solid back, when I was in Green Bay, we had Dorsey Levens. And he wasn't flashy. He wasn't big time. But the whole thing meshed together in a perfect manner where you can win a championship with not a great back. You, of course, you want one at every position. But as a running back, but it all starts up front. It all starts up front. And that's what, from my standpoint, like I said, being an evaluator, is what's changed for me, because I sit here and watch tape after tape after tape, and it's just like, okay, well, you know, I understand you can drop step and you can put your hands on them, boom, the ball's out. But I want to see movement. I want to see, you know, toughness. I want to see grit. I want to see you get after somebody. You know, it's hard, you know. So when you do a report on a guy, you're like, okay, how's his drive blocking? How's his run blocking? You know, don't know, because they run so much east-west instead of north-south with the running game and the spread. The guy runs towards the sideline, which I never understood. Why not run towards the end zone? You know, but that's the system, and that's what people are doing. And it's the game's changed. Don't get me wrong, it's still a great game, and it's always going to be a great game. But the game has changed from the standpoint of how you can really evaluate certain positions on certain offenses.
So now, what do you see the game 5 years from now? Is it going to, because almost this is kind of evolving into like Big 12 football. Is it going to be like this, or what adjustments do you see happening?
Well, I think what the commissioner's done and the league office has done is made it fan friendly from the standpoint they want to see points. It's like in baseball, they want to see home runs. They go to the game, they want to see home runs. I think with fans, they want to go to the game now, they want to see points scored. You know, which I'm old school, I don't like that. I'd rather see a 10-7 game than a 54-51 game. You know, it's just, I think with the rules that are out there now, and with the ability to even touch a quarterback, or, you know, pass interference down the field, the game's changed a lot that way. And, you know, if that's what they want, that's what they're getting. And I think you can see with the amount of points that have been put up this year, it's on record pace.
No question.
And, you know, I personally feel bad for the defenders. You know, I mean, you see D linemen now get to the quarterback. They're, you know, want to sack them. I mean, it's a contact sport, you know. But then all of a sudden, they just put their hands on them and push them down instead of tackling. Because the more hits you get on a quarterback, the better chance you have of winning the game, you know. Of course, you don't want to hurt them, but you want them to feel it. And the game's changed to the point now where that's not the case. You see guys pull up, you know, which is a crying shame, because defensive players, our mindsets are attack, get the ball, make the play, you know, make the tackle. And now guys are thinking twice about it, you know, which I don't respect at all. But the game's the game. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, the one thing I think, let's kind of go instinctive scouting and kind of go position by position of what it is that you have to go right now and what it was maybe 5, 10, 15 years ago. And I guess in the big picture, you look at some of the early mock drafts, and it looks like, I mean, the first round is just loaded with defensive players, where it's now a little bit harder, I guess, to get the offensive players. If that's true, what's happening in college that's getting so many guys that could be first rounders on defense, maybe more so than first rounders on offense?
I think it's a different draft. Every year it's got its own little protocol of who's what, at what positions, what's the depth. I think it's, you know, in my 25 years, it's a unique year, because I think there's going to be a lot of defensive linemen taken, you know, and outside linebackers / defensive ends, but interior guys. I've been doing a lot of work on the D-line, and it's impressive. And the thing about it is, it's not going to affect the way the league looks at it. They're going to get drafted. These guys are going. There's going to be a handful that go in the first round. But, you know, it's that simple from the standpoint, you just take the best football player, you know. And it could be an offensive lineman. It could be a quarterback. It could be a receiver. Who knows? But the defense, It's just a unique year. I've never seen it like it, like I said. Never seen it this depth. It's incredible.
Well, here's what I'm wondering, because I heard this from a couple of scouts, and I don't know if it's valid or not. But, for example, because of the spread offense in college, you need to get maybe your best big athlete to be an inside guy because he's the one who can get to the quarterback quicker than the outside pass rush guy because you're not going to have a chance on a first read. And so, like somebody even said, that Walter Jones, were he in college right now, Hall of Fame left tackle, one of the greatest who ever played the game, might have to be defensive tackle right now because the coach needs that type of athlete to take over the tackle spot for the defense.
Well, it's interesting because you're going to see there's going to be defensive ends drafted this year. They could be 3-4 outside linebackers, so standing at 2-point. It's because everything's spread out, you know, and it's about athletes being able to, you know, play against these offenses because, you know, it's 3 and 4 receiver sets. I just watched a guy the other day that I think is probably going to go in the second round, and he'll play defensive end half the time, and he'll stand in 2-point and play outside linebacker half the time, you know. So you're looking for athletes, you're looking for speed, looking for playmakers because you got to match the talent and the speed and the overall opening field of the offense.
Let's kind of go quick drill here. What's the difference now for, say, linebackers now coming out of college compared to linebackers, say, 10 years ago?
Probably 10 pounds lighter, faster, not finesse guys, but guys can go in the sideline. You know, it's changed. It's not the big thumper anymore. And they're hard to find, the big thumper, because they're recruiting, colleges recruiting guys that have speed and can run and can go get it. You know, back in the day with the thumper, you just came downhill, bang, bang, hit the guard, hit the fullback or whatever. And that was your middle linebacker. Now it's like Bobby Wagner type players, you know, where don't get me wrong, he's special. But guys that can run, you know, and not be the big thumper, but, you know, be able to stay in there and fight. But, yeah, it's all about speed. It's all about covering the field.
What about the safety position?
I don't think it really hasn't changed. You know, you're still looking for, you know, Earl Thomas / Cam Chancellor type guys, but they're hard to find, you know, they're producing the NFL. But it hasn't changed. It's hard to find. If you got a safety that can run, majority of the time they're playing corner in college. You know, then you got to watch the tape and say, okay, well, hey, maybe possibly he's a safety because, you know, he's maybe not quick enough or have enough twitch or fast enough to be a corner, but he's a good football player. You know, so. It hasn't changed from the standpoint of safeties. They have to cover more ground, but still, you got your strong, your free, and the stronger walk down, he's like an undersized linebacker, and the free is a guy you want to have good range, you know, and be able to run.
And I guess the final position to look at is running back, where you go back to Adrian Peterson in, 2007, and, you know, the complete I formation. Yep. Back, take the ball 7-8 yards behind the line of scrimmage, follow a fullback. We're now, and I don't know, this. It seems that even though these are different backs, we're coming off like 2 or 3 unbelievably good running back drafts. Is there a different running back now that's coming out of college?
I think so. Just from the standpoint, like you talked about with Adrian, you know, line up in the eye and coming downhill. You know, there's a lot of good young backs, and everybody's well aware they're out there. But it's changed. A lot of them now, which is good from the standpoint of evaluator, is seeing them catch the ball because a lot of the guys now are, because of the spread, are getting thrown the ball much more than they were back in the old style, whatever formation, whatever you want to do with it. But the thing about it is you're well aware every year in the draft, there's always good running backs. You know, you don't have to take them in the first. You could take, you know, the Frank Gores in the third. You could take, you know, guys in the fifth, you know, even the seventh, and even sign college free agents that you see so much out of them. But the thing that's unique about it with the running back, like I said, you know, instead of being nonstop north-south, you see a lot of east-west. And then they hit it and get upfield, of course. It's hard to tell their vision. It's hard to tell their, you know, foot quickness in the hole because they're running outside all the time. You know, where like with AP, he was always in between the tackles. And you could see exactly. Frank Gore was the same way. You could see exactly what they could do around traffic. And that's what I'm talking about with the running game. You need that late in the season, you know, because you got to be able to run the rock. You got to be able to get downhill. You know, five-yard gains, great gains. Now second and five instead of running left and getting 1 yard, and that's second and nine. And it's a lot easier for a play caller, a lot easier for a quarterback to go second and five instead of second and nine.
Tell you what, we had a home run, touchdown, deep pass. I think this education right now, we really got schooled on what it is now is coming out of college and into the NFL. Scott McLuhan, Instinctive Scouting, thanks for joining us.
Yep, thank you, John.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with a Professor.